I have on the screen, make America repent again. Now, do you have any idea where I got that thought from? We hear all the time recently over the last 2 years, since Donald Trump began running, although Ronald Reagan used the same theme somewhat back in the when he ran for president, make America great again. And we're all for that. That sounds like a good idea. I don't know of anybody who does not want America to be great. So I think we all can agree America, we like America to be great again. We're going to read a couple verses. One over here is in Jeremiah and chapter 30. The Lord spake this message about the people of Israel of Judah. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the people in the Philippines? Is he talking to people in Kenya? Is he talking to the people in China or Taiwan or Ethiopia or any other nation? Or is he talking to who? He's talking to our people. He's talking to Israel. And he says, the word of the Lord gives a message to the people of Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord said. We hear people crying from fear. They are afraid. There is no peace. Now, all through the Bible, there are principles we see. And these principles repeat themselves over and over again. And so this is a principle of Israel going into sin, and they're in distress and they're fearful. Just like our nation is today. We're reading in a principle, a prophetic principle of America today in the year 2016. It says the people are crying from fear. They are afraid. There is no peace. Ask this question and consider it. A man cannot have a baby, so why do I see every strong man holding his stomach in pain like a woman having a baby? Why is everyone's face turning white? Like a dead man's face. This will be a terrible day. There will never be anything like it. This is a time of great trouble for the people of Jacob. But they will be saved from it. He's talking and prophetically about this could be a great trouble for the people of Jacob. Now, in the New Testament, Christ makes reference to the same period of time. And he says, he makes reference to that in the concluding comments, but that's not what I wanted. Well, the concluding comments is, men's hearts filling them for fear and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth. Now, at this point, I want to apologize, okay? My PowerPoint may be off, someone, as you just saw, because I just got me a different computer. I had a PowerPoint all structured on it, and then found out it would not hook up to our cables here. And so Andrew had to come over and transfer to my new, older computer, and some of the things may have got jiggled. So, if we've got some jiggling going on, you just have to bear with me on that. All right. Now, we know that there's troubles going on. See, that's not the picture I want. I'm going to show that picture later. There's the picture I want. No, that's not what I want either. See, a whole lot of jiggling going on. All right. We'll leave the blank screen there for now. We know that there's trouble in the country. We know things are going wrong. We know things are not right. Now, just a few days ago, and I'm going to give you some examples that all of you could, I'm sure, say, well, yeah, and I also heard thus and thus. In Little Rock, just a few days ago, July 14th, a car drives up to a Sonic Drive-In. Three guys order a meal. The meal is brought out by the car hop. And she comes out and gets to deliver their food to them. They pull out a gun and shoot her in the abdomen, up in the neck, and I think in the shoulder. And they drove off. Now, they haven't been caught yet. But according to detailed, let me see how they got here, according to detailed description, that were given out by the police. One was wearing a white shirt, and one was wearing a black shirt. That's a detailed description. Now, later on, if they were able to provide more evidence, and the new evidence that they were able to provide later on after doing further research is they were also black. And I thought that was kind of humorous. That the original report was detailed information. One has a white shirt, one has a black shirt. Anyway. The police are still searching for a motive. A few weeks ago, a police officer attends a multiracial church. So he's in this church congregation. He's got people from China, from Asia, from Africa, whatever. Maybe not really from those countries, but they're that nationality. He's a multiracial church. And he has a friend there. And his friend is Tyler Gibbard. And that's his friend. That's his black friend. And he really likes his black friend. He sits in the church pews with his black friend. They share the hymnal. They sit there and take their hymnal up there, hold it up, and they sing Amazing Grace with his black friend. Maybe the Bible reading. They open the Bible. They share Bible reading with his black friend. He's got a black friend. He's proud of his black friend. And unfortunately, his black friend kind of favored the Black Lives Matter movement. And so this white guy, who's a police officer, he gets in a discussion with his black friend, his church buddy, and his black friend, church buddy, gets irate, comes over to his house, pounds on the door of his house. His wife comes to the door. She's terrified. She slams the door. He runs down to the backyard, picks up a 50-pound flower pot, throws it through the window, and the policeman's wife, terrified, runs upstairs, grabs her baby, and he lunges after his white friend, and his white friend, off-duty police officer, had to shoot his fellow church member. Isn't diversity wonderful? Of course, we all know about five cops being killed in Dallas, and three in Baton Rouge, and the one about the cop who had a block, cinder block, and thrown into his car because he wasn't broke his spinal column. We know there's a growing hatred for police officers, growing hatred for white people in general. Now, if you go on the internet and you look up the crime, the murders committed by whites and non-whites against police officers, I'm just talking about police officers. They say 52% of it, violent murders, I guess a murder would be violent, committed by against white officers, 52% are committed by white people, and 42% are committed by black people. Now, I'm going to show you something out here, and this could be a little awkward because I could not get to my PowerPoint. So I'm going to try to get down here, but this is very, very important, because when you hear statistics about white people committing crimes, what do we think of? We think of Timmy, you know, with Rin Tin Tin, or maybe Mary or Sally. This is what we think. White people committing crimes. Let's show you how the FBI classifies people that are white. Now, this is going to be a little awkward because I could not get it right up on PowerPoint. But I'm going to do my best, okay? To get up here for you. Okay, that guy that on the left. What nationality is? What race is he? Would anybody in this church classify him as white?
No.
All right. Now, I want to show you something. Here is his FBI wanted poster. What do they classify him as his race? White. No, but is he white? Somebody's lying to you. Let's try another one or two.
And Hispanic's a language group, not a racial category.
This is an interesting one. And if my memory is correct, I may be wrong. It's like, anybody classify him as white? I don't know anybody who would classify him as a white person. But this one is a water poster. He's a white guy. What do you know? I think it was the same poster we say am. I think I am. Yeah. That's a white guy. Any guys here want him to marry your daughter? Let's look up one more. What about this guy? Let's look at him. That feels like a good Norwegian, maybe a Swedish. You think? Anybody think he's white? There it is. Race. White! What do you know? I was able to get on the screen good, Andrew, back there. Anyway, terrorist attacks are coming almost every day. USA Today said terrorism attacks are almost a daily occurrence. Now, John Kerry thinks it's no big deal. He thinks it's no big deal. That if terrorists really not that big of a deal, it's hype, it made people, make Obama look bad. You know, and said, it's no big deal. Now, one fellow who lives down the road from us here in St. Joe, who's a Facebook friend, he writes here, he says, John Kerry's a Secretary of State. He's supposed to be this guy who's really wise on foreign affairs. John Kerry says that we shouldn't be afraid of ISIS. Really? We shouldn't be afraid of ISIS. He said that you should be more afraid of your refrigerator in the kitchen. Well, now, some people, if they have fighting a weight problem, maybe they should be afraid of the refrigerator. All right. But he said, because your refrigerator is killing more people than ISIS. Then Mr. Cohen says, I'm serious, folks. He actually said that. I am really trying to believe that the whole administration is smoking weed. Like every hour. I'm not kidding. They have to be sitting around stoned out of their heads. And that's so true. The country is falling apart. It's not a secret. It really isn't a secret. I mean, we try to blind our eyes to it. And people go around, you know, trying to ignore what is the obvious. But the world is falling apart. Now, this fellow here, Charles Murray, he wrote a book in 2012, How to Come Apart. That was a bestseller. New York Times said his book is one of the top 100 notable books in the year 2012. The fact that something's going wrong, is it falling apart, gives us a sense of urgency. No wonder people want America to be great again. No wonder we look at our streets, we look at Black Lives Matter, and we look at the stopping cars on the highway, blocking miles and miles of traffic. And we wonder, what has happened? What has happened to this country? In 1932, at the beginning of the German revival, a German politician made this observation, the full play. It sounds really not critical, but it's kind of nice to listen to.
Just adds to it, that's all.
I said we were going to have. We have to tweak this here today. So, give me one more shot at it. All right, everybody, give me another shot.
Yeah.
All right. Now this is from 1932. Isaiah says your country is broken, your cities are in ruin, aliens are robbing you of your wealth, and you watch and you can do nothing. Is that how we feel sometimes?
Can you voice that quote for the audio?
Can I do what?
Read the quote for the audio.
I don't
have just watch.
Oh, can I read it? The streets of our country are... No, that's not it. I think I have that here. The streets of our country are in turmoil. The universities are filled with students rebelling and rioting. Communists are seeking to destroy our country. And the republic is in danger. Yes, danger from within and without. We need law and order. Without law and order, our republic, our nation cannot survive. During the past week, we have witnessed the Republican National Convention held in Cleveland. People gathered for 4 days. The city of Cleveland came from all parts of the country. And they cheered their delegate, Donald Trump. They're hoping that Donald Trump will somehow win his election against Hillary because he'll make America great again. For some, the nomination of Donald Trump reveals an awakening of the American spirit. Here's a list of things that Trump says he wants to accomplish. And as I read them, I want you to stop and listen to each one and tell me, just in your own head, answer whether you agree or disagree. You don't have to tell me, just do you agree or disagree. Here's what he said he wants to do. He wants to return to a traditional values. He wants to protect our borders. He wants to rebuild our economy. Support law enforcement. Build a wall, a beautiful wall, as Jason emphasizes, on the southern border. He wants to stop the flow of refugees from Syria, protect the Second Amendment, bring a halt to abortion, place conservative judges on the Supreme Court as well as the federal courts, restore local control over public schools. He wants to destroy ISIS terrorism, eliminate government corruption, restore national pride, make America work again, make America great again. Is what we're told. But can Donald Trump do those things? See, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Can he do that? Is it within his power to do that? I'm sure that each of those things we all can identify with. And I don't know anything that any of us would be against. I don't know anything that we'd be against any of those things. But how do we bring it about? How does it come about? How do we make America great? It's nice to say you're going to do it and have a list of things you're going to do, but how does it really come about? Is Donald Trump really the answer? Now, I support the Donald, personally, I support the Donald Trump campaign. Even though I know he's not the answer. And the reason I support his campaign is because it opens the narrative and moves the narrative into direction. There are things that are being said now in America today that I only heard in private little tiny meetings where extremists met 30 years ago. Now we're hearing them talking about on national news. So he moves the narrative in our direction. He is looked upon, even though I know he's not, he's looked upon as being a white nationalist. That's why you heard at the protesters outside the Trump rally, or in Cleveland, shout chanting, "No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA." I heard those phrases many times in rallies. They didn't have the Trump part in it, but the other part. Or boys in blue are Nazis too. And but no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. So there's this hatred for Trump, not because what he is, understand, not because we is, because we understand he's not the answer. We understand he's not a white nationalist, whatever that term means, and I'm not sure labels are good to use because everybody gives a different meaning to their label. We are aware of those things. But the problem isn't those things. Those things we just... That's not the problem. That is the curse for the problem that we've created. Those aren't the problem. It's kind of like having... It's our national sickness. It's like you having a flu. When you get the flu, you get a fever. The fever did not create the flu. The flu created the fever. All these heartaches and all these things happening to our nation are themselves not the problem. They are simply revealed a deeper problem that we have as a nation. They reveal a deeper problem. That's why Trump is awfully not the answer. And I get tired sometimes when people telling me, Facebook message or whatever, say, "Don't you know, Tom? The Jews are just manipulating Donald Trump. You should figure that out." Listen, I've been in this for 50 years. You don't think I figured that out? Or people say, "Well, we should not support Trump because we need to repent." Really? Do you really think that I believe Donald Trump is the answer to America's woes? Do you really think that? Come on, give me a break. But I support Donald Trump for another reason. We'll talk about that in a second. But these things, they're not the cause. They're just the sickness that's being revealed because of the deeper cause that we have, a deeper sin that we have. You see, I understand if America is to be great again, America has to repent again. That's really what America has to do. But what does that mean? It's easy to say America has to repent. I hear people say it all the time. But what does it mean? First off, let's understand America was a white country. There's only one country in the history of the world that was founded in its core documents to be a white country. One, the first one was ancient Israel, and the other one was the United States of America. No other country in the history of the world that I'm aware of was founded in their core documents declared to be a white country. The other countries were white only by their natural organic men. They grew, their white country developed as a white country. But ancient Israel and the United States of America, in their founding documents, declared, "We are a white Christian country." People don't know that today. They're not aware of it. They want to point out the faults that our founding fathers may have had. Well, of course they have faults. They're not gods. They're not angels. Of course they have faults. But America is founded in a white Christian country. Our very first immigration law passed. The very first immigration law passed in March of 1790 directed that the only people to come to this country is immigrants or white people. You couldn't immigrate to this country if you weren't white and if you weren't had good moral character and a Christian. All the territories. solitary. The Dakotas, Oregon, Washington, Missouri, Arkansas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, all the territories. If you look at the charters of those territories, you had to be a white person to be a citizen of North Dakota or the Dakotas. You had to be a white person to be a citizen of Utah. You had to be a white person to be a citizen of Idaho. You had to be a white person to be a citizen of Oregon and Washington and Oklahoma and Kansas. In their own charters, it stipulates that very clearly. We don't know that today because we're being lied to. There's this effort to disconnect us from our forefathers. But you had to be a white person. And most of them said you had to be a Christian. America is founded as a white Christian country. Now I know somebody's going to holler up, maybe not here, but some of this on the internet, or maybe hear this through whatever it means. You know, what about the Treaty of Tripoli? And we're not going to talk about that now, but come on, I know about the Treaty of Tripoli, so don't try to throw that at me and try, well, that proves we're not a Christian country. But that's too long a story to go to now. I just threw that out for somebody who might be shouting out to me, Treaty of Tripoli! All right. America had a Christian character, a Christian culture, a Christian laws, and Christian personality. It had a white character, a white culture, white laws, and a white personality. And because it had this common personality, it was what we call a stable person. What do you call somebody who's not a stable person? He's schizophrenic, right? You don't know what he is. Right now, he might be a nice guy. 5 minutes from now, his personality totally changes. And that's an unstable person. He right now he's a plumber. His name is Jack, okay. And 10 minutes from now, he might be, who knows what, maybe Jim, or maybe Freeman the Barber. I had to throw it out there just for humor. But you don't, the point is, when somebody's schizophrenic, you don't know what their personality is. And because America has brought all these different individuals into our country since 1965, we don't know what our personality is anymore. We've lost our personality. We've lost our identity, our personality. Are we white? Are we Christian? No, we're not Christian. Obama says we're not Christian anymore. He said we're all these other religions now. And so we have this. America has become an unstable country today. And our forefathers lived out the teaching, the commandments of Jesus Christ. Because they declared themselves to be white and Christian, they were, in essence, living out the teachings of Jesus Christ, where he commands to love your God and love your people. They may not have understood it. They may not have understood the way we're talking about it today. But nevertheless, they acted it out. They kept it intact. They knew that their people was foremost. The Christian faith was foremost. And our founding fathers in the wisdom said, we're not going to be fractured by either religious squabbles. We're not going to have Lutherans marching on the churches of the Baptists and trying to burn them down. We're not going to have the Methodists, we're not going to have the Catholics, we're not going to have the Episcopalian, we're not going to have all these different religious factions fighting with each other over their silly little doctrines. We're going to be united on one principle, race and faith. And so they understood that, and that's why they declared against to us this concept of freedom of religion. They weren't talking about foreign alien gods. Give me a break. The whole character of their nature reveals that. They weren't talking about those things. And if it grew to accept that and become those things, it's only because, not the documents, because of our sinful nature. Even ancient Israel fell the map in that area. So we want America to be great again? Want America to repent? Repent of what? See, too many churches are trying to make America righteous. Hear me out. We're trying to make America righteous. America don't have to be righteous. America has to be blessed. They're not the same thing. And that's why you got this one church over here. Here's our doctrines. And if you want to be righteous, you've got to follow these doctrines. Another church, well, here's our doctrines. You've got to be righteous, follow those doctrines. Well, no, no, that's not right. Those are wrong doctrines. We don't believe in that. And they fight and squabble each other. You got the wrong name. You got the wrong date. Whatever. Because we're trying to make put God into the box of what they consider righteousness. And if you don't have that, if you have trouble with religion, it makes people feel self-righteous. I've got the right teaching. Your church doesn't. Ha, ha, ha. You're going to hell. No, that kind of thing. And our founding fathers, the wisdom, understood that. America was a blessed nation, but at the time our forefathers settled here on the rocky coastline of the Atlantic Ocean, all through the forming of a country, America was a blessed nation. Who can say it wasn't? Who can dare say, even entertain the thought that America was not blessed by God? America was not righteous. Those pilgrims ate eel. They ate pork. And they did observe the right Sabbath. And they didn't use the right names. And they didn't baptize the right way. They went to church on the wrong day. And then they keep the right feast days. And there are all kinds of things they didn't do right. But isn't righteousness God wants from our nation? He wants you to be blessed. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I hope I explained it properly. He wants to be a blessed nation again. To love your God and to love your people. And when you love your God and love your people, then He'll bless you with the teachings of righteousness. America was blessed when we were, as Americans, loved our God and loved our people. We had nothing else that made me right. We might have been messed up in everything else. We might have got messed up in everything. But we had one thing right. We understood that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And we understood we had to protect our racial identity. And they were blessed for that reason. And America became cursed. When we no longer understood we needed to love our God and love our people. When we walked away and no longer loved our God and loved our people, then we became under the curse. Now, I put a post on Facebook a while back asking for people's comments on repentance. And I had a couple of people write in. I can't read them all, so I'm not going to. One person wrote, I don't know what we need to repent for, but as long as you're doing what God wants you to do, which is different for each person, and doing it from your heart. Really? Well, I don't know what that means. This person is a white nationalist, but not a Christian. They wrote, it's kind of lengthy, but it's kind of funny too. It says, astounding! You honestly do not understand what you need to do? First, you need to realize that a Jew God has no authority. So, talk about Jesus Christ. Secondly, you need to take back the government from the Jews and remove every non-white from our nation by whatever means necessary. Thirdly, you need to never again worship a false Jewish deity that brought you up in this place, but instead honor our own gods and our own ancestors as is right and proper. This person said, we need to repent for this, the millions of Native Americans we have killed. Repent for the present-day slaughter of innocent Middle Eastern people. Repent for hating immigrants that come to North America. And in truth, we are all immigrants.
You sure have some great friends on Facebook.
This person said, repenting to me is not so much an emotion, but action in a new direction to correct it wrong. And that's actually right. You have, if to repent means you've got to change the direction you're going. America must reverse direction from the homosexual transgender agenda being forced upon it by Obama and some courts. This person just says simply, if you are a Christian, you've already repented. Really? See, the problem is that preachers up and down the country tell us that America has to repent, but they never tell us what we have to repent of. Oh, what is it we have to repent? I want to know. You, with most of you here, have parents. You've had children. I'm sure you've seen this scenario. A child gets in trouble, and a child says, I'm sorry. And you say, what are you sorry of? I mean, the parent will ask, what are you sorry of? People, when you come to Jesus, you say, I'm sorry, I want to repent. And Jesus said, all right, what are you repenting of? I don't know. I want to be a good person. Preachers tell you, you got to turn to Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? Turn to Jesus. Most preachers tell us that we have to come to Jesus for salvation, but seldom ever mention repentance. Because if you come to Jesus, you're going to get a better job, you're going to have a better home, you're going to have a better family, life is going to be good, you're going to get that fast boat you want, life is going to be easy. Just come to Jesus, He'll make your life wonderful. Really? I thought there was something about repentance. But you hear churches up and down, all these, come to Jesus because your life, you're hurting, come to Jesus. Your marriage not going good, come to Jesus. They won't tell all the things that you're going to get. None of them ever point their finger and say, you need to repent. And what is it we need to repent of? For our nation to be blessed again. We're told that Jesus came and died on the cross and saved us from our sins. Granted. Now what do we repent of? Does it mean joining the right church? Does it mean believing the right doctrine? It sounds good to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But if you don't know what your sins are, then you're going to keep doing them. You really think you haven't repented? Now just generically say, forgive me my sins. Okay, that's great. Fine, all right. It means nothing unless you repent. I know that we can look at personal issues that we may have that, you know, that we need to repent of. I mean, with my anger problems maybe, and some other issues, personal. And those are all well and good. You know, those are things that we need to examine our own lives so we may grow and become a more well-rounded person, a more well-rounded Christian. But what about the nation? The nation is being punished today. What about the nation? Some churches say smoking cigarettes is sin. So if everybody in America stops smoking, that means we're going to be blessed. Or drinking, or using a bad word. Really? What is the national sin? What is the national sin we have that we need to repent of? Because of the sin we have, we're not just facing a crisis. We are facing a catastrophe. So the Bible tells us we hear people crying in fear, and they're afraid, and there's no peace. So what do we do? What do we do? I know Trump's not the answer. So I don't want to hear somebody writing to me and telling me, don't you know, Trump is this. I don't want to hear about it. I know he's all that. And so are you, and so am I. I don't know, who are we pointing fingers at here, you know? And I was disgusted by a couple incidents that happened at the Republican convention. You probably know what I'm referring to. I think I've got one right here. It's going to play.
Entrepreneur
Peter Thiel.
I'm Peter Thiel. When I was a kid, the great debate was about how to defeat the Soviet Union, and we won. Now we are told that the great debate is about who gets to use which bathroom. This is a distraction from our real problems. Who cares? Of course, every American has a unique identity. I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican. But most of all, I am proud to be an American.
Really? And all those people sat there applauding that? That's why I know Donald Trump is not the answer. I know the Republican Party is not the answer. Don't insult my intelligence by trying to explain that to me. I know that. I'm just looking at the fact that there's a stir going on. And it's revealed in what he is saying. We may not agree, but it is revealed in what he is saying. And we can capitalize that and use that to promote a cause of white Christian revival for our people and our nation. We have issues now that are being talked about on national TV that legitimizes, if I can say the big long word, our program. So I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Why would I do that? Even though that disgusts me. Why would I do that? Why would I vote for a man that allowed a sodomite to speak in the field? I'll tell you why. First off, I know he's not a righteous man. I know there are people who are looking for the righteous man. But I can argue that's a violation of the first commandment. Are you really going to be searching the world through the politics and people and individuals and those who walk in shoe leather for a righteous man? Come on. You're really going to find that? You're not going to find that. And if you are searching for that, then you took your eyes off the Lord. You're searching for a man to be your answer and deliverer. I could argue that. I know they'll say otherwise. I'm just telling how I could argue. You're not going to find a righteous man. Only the Lord is righteous. But you know, I have no power. And you have no power to pick who the Republican candidate was. You have no power for that. You have no power to pick who the Democratic candidate is. You have no power for that. But I'll tell you what, you had no more power than that than Joseph had the power who the Pharaoh would be. But do you know what? Joseph still served the Pharaoh, didn't he? Daniel had no power who the king of Babylon would be. But you know what? Daniel was a righteous man and he did righteousness in the kingdom of Babylon. So, I have no power who the candidate would be. I have no power who the president candidate would be. No power whatsoever. But I do have power to pursue righteousness. I do have the power to pursue it and seek righteousness as much as I can. As much as I'm allowed to go. I'm commanded to pursue and seek after righteousness. Amen. And I know Donald Trump is not the final answer, but he does incorporate much of the righteousness that we pursue for, don't we? And we have to pursue that. It's not the answer, but we have to pursue, because if we don't pursue righteousness, what are we doing? We're wallowing in the darkness of depravity and sickness and acceptance of what is wrong in America. What did Christ tell you to do? Be a light on a hill. Be a light on a hill. Spread the light as much as you can. As much as you can. So that's why I think that, in my mind, I think it's wrong. I'm not going to the idea and say, well, it's your responsibility. I don't care what responsibility is to the nation. It's your responsibility to yourself, to your relationship to the Lord. Will you pursue righteousness, or will you just accept wickedness? That's the way I look at it. I know other people look at it a different way, and that's fine. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. I'm just telling you the way I see it. Because I used to be that other way. I used to have that feeling that, I'm not going to vote for any of them. They're all no good. I used to feel that. And here about 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I don't know, time goes by so fast, because I was only 18 yesterday. And the time goes by so fast, and I recognize I'm responsible to pursue righteousness. I can't control who those people are, but I have the duty to my children to pursue righteousness as much as I can. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The word kingdom is government. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we're commanded to do. Seek the government of God and His righteousness. America needs to repent. There's no question about it. Donald Trump is not going to bring us to repentance. Donald Trump is not going to save America. Donald Trump is not going to bring America into a great 1,000-year reign of glory. He's not going to do it. But he does advance the narrative It does advance the cause. Because you can imagine what's going to happen if Donald Trump wins the election and the reaction from Black Lives Matter occurs in this country. Your opportunity to reach out to your lost brothers and sisters is going to grow enormously. We have to be a light on a hill to take the light of hope and redemption to our people, to teach our nation once again. We want to be great again. We have to once again learn to love our God and to love our people. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessings and your watchtower over us. We thank you for touching our lives and opening up our eyes and putting in us this love for our people. More than anything else, Father, help our love for our people to grow and grow until it consumes us. We become a beacon of light to our nation. We ask all in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Very good, Pastor Rob. If you'd like to get more information for church services here as well as our conferences, you can write to us at Christian Bible Center, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. That's Christian Revival Center, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. Or you can email us at revival@southshore.com. Revival@southshore.com. With that, I can have Jonathan come back up, and we're going to end with one more song.
Everyone good. Please be standing once again. And turn to page number 6. Closing in today. Page number 6. This is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. Don't know where that is.